When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Finding high-quality mental health care can be daunting and exhausting. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, grief, big life changes, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can now use FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Yeah. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter into your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of The Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And today, Kathy is about to go see a movie by herself because I already got to see it, luckily.
This is not how the podcast normally works. We did this once before for our 100th episode, and we're doing it again where childcare requirements get in the way of us both going at the same time. Dave's already seen Shang-Chi, and I'm about to watch it.
Yeah, what do you know about this? I probably shouldn't even be here for this bit.
You shouldn't be here.
This is the before the movie, what do we know about it bit.
I haven't even seen a trailer. I know it's like a standalone prequel, and they're my favourite type of Marvel movie.
It's not a prequel. It's an
origin story. That's what I meant.
It's a prequel to the Shang-Chi sequels.
Okay, great. Well then, I know it's a standalone origin story. It's like the first Central Asian character, which I'm really interested to see how they do. And I've seen good things about it, like kind of in passing, seeing headlines on the internet. But that's it. I'm like totally...
Saw some headlines, did you?
I'm glad that it's standalone, because usually when we go to Marvel movies, I have to be like, Dave, who's that again? And what movie are they from? And what's happening? So I'm hoping...
You might have a couple of... I'm interested to talk to you after this, because there are... It is definitely... I feel like this is a movie that works on its own. Definitely. For anybody who could just walk in cold and enjoy this.
I hope
so. But there's some connective tissue to other movies... That is probably not essential, but I feel like it's the kind of thing you would easily be whispering to me during a cinema.
Okay.
Who's this guy?
I'm mainly excited to go to the cinema on my own. I can't remember. Probably the last time I did that was when we went to for our 100th episode to go and see The Shape of Water separately. Yeah, I never really get to go on my own.
No, we went to see Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse separately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
One of my best... cinema experiences of all time.
So yeah, I love cinema going on my own while you put the kids to bed. What could be better?
Yes.
So we'll see you all
off
after this.
I'm off to put our kids to bed. You're off to the cinema, and then we will see you all shortly.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Throughout my life, the Ten Rings gave our family power. If you want them to be yours one day, you have to show me you are strong enough to carry them.
You are a product of all who came before you. The legacy of your family. You are your mother. And whether you like it or not, you are also your father.
I told my men they wouldn't be able to kill you if they tried.
Right, guys, we're back. We're all up to speed now. We've all seen Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Except some of you who may not. And if you haven't seen it, then there will be no spoilers for that movie yet. So you can listen for a little bit until we get to Spoiler Street, as always, which is full of spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, it's riddled beware. With spoilers.
Oh, it's the worst for spoilers, mm-hmm. that street. And I've been onto the council non-stop, and they won't do anything about
what
it.
What do we pay our council tax for? Not for this rubbish to be cleaned up.
So, okay. So I'm excited. Now we can finally talk about this, because I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks, and now we can finally get into it. What, Kathy, what did you think? What did you think of Shang-Chi?
Shang-Chi.
As the Irish accent wanted me to do it.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And more than I was expecting to. I was like kind of properly on the edge of my seat. I actually cried a bit at the end, which is usually a good sign for me of a movie. I really enjoyed all the performances. I really loved the kind of mystical, mythical stories that we were getting. And I loved how it looked, because a lot of Marvel movies look very samey in terms of like cityscapes and destruction and wanton destruction of property and people.
And a big blue light comes in at the
end.
Yeah,
and this looked way different from that. Like, to be honest, if it wasn't in the Marvel universe, if it wasn't tied into any other movies, like, I wouldn't have been surprised. Yeah, it feels really refreshing and different.
You could easily pick it up and strip all that stuff out, and it would still work as a really solid
movie. I just loved how it looked, to be honest. Like, it was just, to me, extremely beautiful looking. And of course, I love that it's like a completely Asian cast. That was brilliant. I thought it was so clever to have the character of Awkwafina, who's like kind of second generation American, doesn't really speak Chinese. So there's like a reason for them to be speaking a lot of English, which I think was well done, because otherwise it would have just, you know, when you see movies where like all the characters are from the same country, but they're all speaking English and it makes no sense. So they managed to get all around that, including when he was explaining to her how he pronounces his name. I loved that scene.
I was glad they put that in.
I think they did a really good job of it. Obviously, I'm not Asian, not representing the Asian community in any way, and like, don't know how they took it, but I felt like it was all treated really well, the cultural stuff. And I just loved the fight scenes. Like, I love seeing like martial arts style fighting.
But the director's Asian as well.
It looked amazing.
Destin Daniel Cretton.
It looks amazing, and yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. It wasn't like, I didn't think it was amazing. Personally, like, I wasn't like blown. Like, I know we mentioned this is a hard comparison, but we mentioned Into the Spider-Verse at the top.
You
at the
mentioned
top of this.
Into the Spider-Verse.
I did, and like,
nothing compares to that.
No, I didn't. You know,
that's also
was
a cartoon, so it was visually
sure. But like, if that would have been live action, I still would have been just so impressed by the world building and the characterization. And all
yeah,
that.
But that's a really, really high standard. Like, you're better off holding this to like
fine.
The
I'm just
I'm, origin story or the Captain America origin.
That's
story.
All I'm saying is that I didn't get that. From this,
no,
right? This isn't. But yeah, if you want to compare it
like for like,
yeah, if you
want
to compare it to other Marvel Studios origin movies, this is up there. It's really, really good, and it's better than some of them for sure. What I really liked about it, we should probably say what it's about for anyone who's not doesn't know. It's effectively about our main character Shang-Chi. And The Legend of the Ten Rings. There you go. That's the title. It's about those two things. Although, let's get to it in spoilers, because it's not really about the Ten Rings. It's about...
I'm obsessed with the Ten Rings.
They're awesome, aren't they?
They're like the coolest things I've ever seen in a Marvel movie.
I'm going to tick box all the things that I thought were excellent in this movie. That's one of them. The whole concept of these Ten Rings. And they don't tell you too much about them or the legend. It's kind of... We hinted at that we'll get that later.
It's 100% show don't tell, and they do it so well.
And oh my god, how they work is awesome. The way they spring forth from Tony Leung, who's in this movie, a Hong Kong actor from Infernal Affairs, who is standout playing Shang-Chi's dad and the Mandarin. He's probably, I thought Simu Liu, who plays Shang-Chi, this is kind of a breakout role for him. And he was really charming and I really liked him, but really Tony Leung stole the show. His eyes stole the show.
I mean, yeah, the
like,
dad's the
he
the
is the soul of this movie. And I think I'm in love with him. But the way he uses those rings, and what ultimately happens, we'll talk in spoilers about with the rings, was really effective.
But that's when I said it was visually amazing. Like, that stuff was stunning.
Yeah, and I loved the... They also didn't... You know, they never felt... despite the fact they're clearly CG, they felt very tactile. They felt like they were a part of him. They felt very organic.
Aside from the lasso of truth, this is like the second superhero tool I've ever coveted.
Oh, like, you want those?
I want those rings. Yeah, I want the lasso.
Least of all, that they make you immortal.
No, I don't want to be immortal. I just want what the rings can do. Aside from that, they're cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. Yeah. So they're very cool. The characters, I really loved all the family. There's a lot of family dynamics in this, and I felt like the character motivations were really believable. I thought the villain was excellent.
Yeah.
Like, he's standout, one of the best Marvel villains we've ever had.
Yeah.
The fight choreography was excellent. Like, just superb.
So cool.
Again, some of the best in this that you can get from the Marvel
This
universe.
Is what I mean compared to like Hulk smash. Wow, let's watch all the Avengers run around New York City.
Some of that
like,
can get very samey.
So different.
This is a lot of, and we'll get into spoilers, some of my favorites, but like the fight choreography was amazing, and some of it was shot really, really beautifully.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it which was like clear
some, like, Tai Chi kind of moves.
Yeah, yeah. And clear like references, or I was getting sort of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon vibes from some of the fight scenes, and I love how they incorporated elements of sort of I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, like sort of ancient Chinese mythology, you know, the iconography
dragons.
Of dragons.
Come on.
And the lion, you know,
the lanterns,
what's the that sort of lion character that appears often. So all of that felt very interestingly woven into what is also just brilliant world building.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I thought it's really good world building, really good use of exposition and flashback, which borderline heavy-handed at times, but they managed to rein it in by just packing in emotion.
I had that at one point. I thought, are they going to do more flashbacks? Because that's a lot. And then they just hit the threshold before it went over being.
There's a lot in here, but I was kind of on board with it because they were packing emotional punch.
Yeah,
and
they weren't just like flashbacks
delivering.
to fights or whatever. One of the things that really made it not feel part of the Marvel universe to me, aside from how it looks. It really lacked, and I don't actually mean this as a criticism, it's just an observation. It lacked the humour. There's a certain humour and a, like, amount of jokes and level of jokes that I now expect from one of these movies, including in the darker movies like Black Widow. And this really didn't have them.
Yeah,
it's
there
different
was,
in that sense.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. That's an interesting one, because there is comedy. I think Awkwafina's there to be
but
the comedic psychic.
She's not that funny in it, though. And I don't mean Awkwafina the actress, because she's really funny. I mean her character.
Yeah.
You know, if you compare her to something else, she's been in, like, Jumanji or something. She's not given a lot of... She's more of a serious character in this.
Yeah, and I like that they didn't just mine her for comedy.
Yeah.
I actually liked where her character went.
It's probably the most I've seen from her.
I feel like we should probably go into spoilers now, because that's a few of my, like, minor quirks or criticisms of the movie kind of lie. What do you think?
Yeah, we should definitely get to spoilers.
All right, so spoilers now for, you have been warned, for Shang-Chi
but
and the Legend
if you
of the
haven't
Ten
seen
Rings.
It yet,
go see it. Go
yeah,
see
yeah,
it.
Go
I think,
see it.
As we said, it's, you don't need, I know it can be overwhelming, all the Marvel sort of lore and stuff, as Kathy said, and it's not, you know, it's not a sequel to anything. You could totally just go in fresh. It's a really good origin story, a great action movie. Packed with, like, really good characters and interesting family dynamics, right?
Yeah.
And just cool visuals.
And it just feels refreshing from the usual Marvel fare.
Yeah, it did. It felt, like, different enough. Same, but different. Okay, so I think the only things... I don't know. I felt like some of the plot felt a bit... Like, it didn't really amount to much in the end. As much as I liked the third act... And the dragon was awesome.
The dragons were amazing.
But I felt like, I don't know, I wasn't really wowed. You know the way, like, it's just like, I wasn't surprised. This is what I'll say. I wasn't surprised by anything in this movie.
Okay, I was surprised because I've not even seen a trailer or poster for it. So when Shang-Chi's on the bus in that amazing scene at the very beginning.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was obsessed with that scene. And they're like, I was like, what? He's a pendant around his neck? What? He's fighting? This is so cool. Then he gets to China and, like, all the stuff with his dad and everything. I found all of that really interesting.
I felt like they underused the sister. That's one of my criticisms. Like, she was really badass, and they give her a big intro, and then she's just kind of just in the background for the rest of the film.
Well, it's an interesting one. I don't know that I'd quite say underused, because it's Shang-Chi's origin story, right? Then you've obviously got his dad, who's like the villain. So there's a lot to get through there. And I think if you broke it down like per minute, the sister still probably got a lot of screen time. Then you've Awkwafina's kind of the third character. The sister's kind of the fourth. Like, but she certainly didn't get the Florence Pugh treatment of the Black Widow movie.
That's what I mean. It felt a little crowded with all those characters you've listed off. And she was definitely at the back of the queue, which I think they're clearly, judging by the end credit scene, they're building her up for you know, she'll have a bigger role later.
I actually stayed for the end credit, which I wouldn't have been usually tempted to with one of these movies because they're usually nonsense. But they ended it in like such a cliffhanger that I wanted to see the end credit.
Well, she's a villain, right? She's going to be the antagonist.
I didn't think she was a villain. I thought she was just like changing her dad's way and training women.
Well, I don't think so, because
he's got the rings. The brother.
He's got the rings, but she's got the 10 rings as the organization and the symbol. He's got the actual rings. Like and the brother says to Awkwafina, or Benedict Wong, who's fun.
I love that he was in it. It didn't matter if I hadn't seen the movies.
He says offhand at the end, he says, "Oh, my sister is back at Dad's HQ dismantling everything. Dismantling the criminal organization which has existed for hundreds of years." And then we see her in this thing pulling down things off walls. It looks like she's unpacking, but then the twist is, oh no, it's alive and well, and the bad guy with the sword is there. So I think the implication is she's training an army.
I thought the implication was like girl power. She's finally given women what they were denied.
Maybe. I don't think so. I think they're clearly setting her up to be an antagonist, which
I'm definitely like.
I'm kind of there for. No, I mean, dad versus son this time. Dad versus sister.
And I guess
I'd be on board
make,
for as well.
It could make character sense, because the reason that they united in this movie was because they had to put a stop to this like evil mystical thing that would kill everyone in the world, right? So as we saw, enemies banded together to fight it. So of course they would both fight it, and they both also wanted to mourn their mother together. But after that, they can diverge.
I gotta say, I think that's where it's gonna go.
Can we give props to the acting? The young kids, particularly. So we had actors who played Shang-Chi as like a kid,
and
a teenager, and an adult.
They were all good.
They were all like brilliant, but like the kid, I couldn't. I was like bawling, crying when he was watching his mom. He was such
a
good little actor. And then the scene when he was in the bar and the dad's just like killing people.
Oh wow, that was amazing. I was getting Logan vibes from that scene. Did you get that?
I was just being too emotional, a mother, and like crying, imagining
Oscar. That was really dark and hardcore.
It was really
like
dark,
that he watched his father murder all those men.
And then he saw his mother being
murdered.
And
I thought, I lied when I said it didn't surprise me. It surprised me, that little moment where Shang-Chi tells Awkwafina's character, whose name I can't remember, that he lied to her on the plane and he did murder those people.
That didn't surprise me. I knew he murdered them. Of course he did. He's a killing machine.
I thought he walked away from it. I believed it.
No, he's been programmed. Like, she said your dad like brainwashed you into being a killing machine. Like,
good was the dad? Like, this, the whole dynamic with the dad and the mother and the son and
that's
the daughter and
so
the mother
much.
It was really, really good. And I honestly was really invested in the love story of the mom and the dad. I thought the opening was excellent. That's where I was getting Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon vibes. This, you know, this sort of beautiful sort of fantasy, sort of defying gravity fight scenes. This sort of almost, you know, this levitational magic.
Oh my god, when Shang-Chi gets to the magic land.
And them falling in love while fighting. And the way they were spinning around each other. And they later did that callback, which I thought was amazing, with him and his dad fighting in the same way.
That was the moment I was crying. And then, you know, when the older woman, who's a really famous actor whose name I've forgotten, who plays the auntie, when she was like,
she's in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
She's in everything. She's in Crazy Rich Asians. She basically, he was like, had his fists ready to punch, and she was like, no, and she just like opened his hands, and she's like, it's not about punching, it's about feeling the air with your hands. And it was all done visually, like without words. And then, like when he, just like that moment when he commanded the rings from his dad.
Michelle Yao. Sorry, Michelle.
When he commanded the rings from his dad and did that whole dance, and the rings like start changing color.
That was amazing.
That's when I was just like obsessed with this movie.
Yeah, when he gets five of the rings and you're like, that was a real like,
it was so good.
Punch
and
the
this
air
is
moment.
Why I was
even
going,
though I knew it was coming, because it's on the posters.
See, I didn't know anything, and I'm so
but
pleased I didn't.
It was still good.
But what I love about this, and why it does feel so different from other Marvel movies, is like I always get so bored in the third act in the set piece. like, you know, it's one of the reasons I found, like, particularly like the first Avengers movie so dull. And like,
oh my god, I love that third act from the first Avengers.
This was just so beautiful. This entire like magical world with these dragons, and like, even I love that Awkwafina got her own moment where like she did the...
She's big on dragons this year.
Yeah, she is. And she did like the arrow that went into the other dragon's neck.
Oh, I liked that.
And all the stuff with the rings and the dragons, and like, just, oh, it was so beautiful looking. I had a couple
of questions. The monster was pretty scary. The fact that I liked all that Lord of the Rings stuff with him behind a wall and they locked him away. Again, none of it's surprising, but it was effective.
But it humanizes the villain. Because I was thinking, oh, well, if that was you and I thought I could get you back, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah,
do
and,
you know
and
I mean?
If I thought I could get you back and I was 1,000+ years old and I had 10 rings and an entire criminal organization behind me and I was kind of shady...
Yeah, and I'd the dad sacrifices too, yeah. himself for the son at the end, despite having already once thought he killed him. But I have a serious question about Shang-Chi's abilities, right?
Okay.
Because we know he's like a loafer and he's a valet and like by all accounts is out like drinking really late night in like the karaoke bars and stuff.
Yeah.
He hasn't trained in 10 years. How is he that good?
How do we know?
And how does he have a six-pack?
No, he's totally in shape. He's clearly hasn't... He's kept training.
Oh, but come on. He used to train 12 hours a day. He's got a full-time job now and spends all night out drinking. It's like, yes, when I was younger, I was
probably
good on the piano. Am I good now?
It's muscle memory.
Yeah, but like... No, because like, not that I was ever that good on the piano, but I cannot play it now like I used to. I can't speak languages like I did in school. Like, you lose ability over time.
But hang on. He's not... It's not 10... Is it 10 years?
Awkwafina kept saying she knew in 10 years.
Oh, you're right, because he left when he was like 14.
That's my second question.
Yeah, he's not 23.
How does a 14-year-old move from China to America unaided by an adult and enroll himself in a school system?
Because he had all the... Hang on, I'm going to bullshit this one. He's going to... Because he had all the training of a spy.
There's
and
no
an assassin.
Answer.
So he could probably figure out a way to... work the system
to what, send himself to an adoption agency?
He was raised by a criminal organization who have been living in the shadows for 1,000 years
to be an assassin.
Yeah,
not to enroll in American high school and become a valet.
To be an assassin you have to blend in.
His logistics slightly bugged me in that sense. Like, he shouldn't be in that kind of shape, and he should never have like been able to like enroll himself.
I mean,
in
you're
school.
So right, but look, that's enough to mine for the prequel,
also,
the Shang-Chi prequel, which you've been asked.
The third thing I want to point out that I really liked actually is that it was not a romantic love story. But
yeah, I was going to say that as well. I like that
but
it was
a
friendship.
Like, I can't help myself. Like, I clearly was shipping them to kiss at the end, but I knew narratively it wouldn't have been satisfying. And I love that she's now like his apprentice, and they're tying into this strange Doctor Strange universe, and they're with Ben Wong. I just love all of that. Like, I thought it was brought so well together, and I feel like it's all going to tie into like, you know, the post WandaVision and Loki story from the TV series. And like, I'm actually
listen to
really
you.
Into
You're,
it.
You are so excited. You are a Phase 4 fan.
It's because I really liked WandaVision and Loki. So even though I didn't love the first Doctor Strange movie, I'm pumped for this because I also really like this movie.
That's why this franchise is genius, because they get you on one or two properties and you get sucked into the rest because they all start to overlap.
And like, they obviously realised they just had done the other stuff to death and they need to broaden it. But we're going to need to go. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I liked the movie more talking with you about it. Do you know that's happened somehow?
But that's a sign of a good movie.
And I actually missed coming out of the cinema and talking about it. I think I'd like doing our podcast, I think I'm saying. And I really enjoy, you know, because that is a cathartic, that increases your excitement of something when you come out. But when I kind of came out and got the train by myself, it was a bit sort of just a bit of a whimper.
You're like, I'm used
and
to
I couldn't
talking.
Even text you about it.
You're like, I'm used to talking animatedly for 30 minutes into a recorder.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
But we better go. Thank you everyone for listening. If you haven't already done so, please leave us a review over on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure you subscribe to get all the latest episodes.
Yeah, and you can talk to us about whatever you like about this movie or any others over at the Cinemile @gmail.com or at The Cinemile on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, or come on, hang out at our Patreon page where we do loads of more movie reviews, old movie reviews. We just did The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, and you get to pick what we watch each month, and we do loads of TV stuff, so White Lotus episode coming very soon as well.
Okay, bye.
Bye, thanks for listening. Yeah.
this.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.